6-1-3 Wrestling. With your hosts, Kyle Joseph and Mark Cote.
Hey everyone, I'm Kyle.
My name's Mark.
And you're listening to the 613 Wrestling Show?
Oh, hold on. Let me check. Well, we were called 613 Wrestling Podcast.
That's right.
I heard a rumor.
Oh, you heard a rumor.
Rumor and innuendo.
Oh, rumor and innuendo.
It indicated that there was a potential change.
Yes.
We talked to the lawyers. We got some great advice.
We went to the Google.
Yeah, my therapist. but no, I guess, you know, one thing we want to talk about is, you know, the name, the brand of what 613 Wrestling is. And, you know, Kyle brought up a really good point the other day, just kind of saying, you know, like, what are we? You know, 613 Wrestling was great. It was very us. But then when you really think about it, when I read, and if I wasn't on this podcast and I saw 613 Wrestling, I would think very, and like you said, Canadian wrestling, which we do talk about Canadian wrestling, but that's probably maybe 25% of the time.
Yep.
When we talk about C4 and other random aspects of Canadian wrestlers or independent companies. But so what we did was we talked about it. We went through a lot of different names.
Yep.
And we actually thought of what we feel is a pretty cool name, and which will represent us. It wasn't just a name because it sounded cool. It was one that really, once when we heard it, once when we saw it, and we thought about it together, and it just stuck and it hit. And Kyle's been working on the graphics. They look pretty sick so far for only working on it for a short period of time. But Kyle, do you want to tell everyone what our new name is?
So one of the things that we were considering was, is it confusing or is it straightforward? Does it define what we're looking to do, what
right,
we talk
right.
about? And the other big thing was, is it already in use? And that was one of the right. problems we ran into with 613 Wrestling is there was Wrestling 613,
yeah.
well, 6:13.
Well, 6-1, yeah.
And then there was a Facebook group that was 613 Pro Wrestling. And so we just wanted to make sure that we don't forget, well, you know, we're still the same show.
Yes.
In terms of content and what we want to talk about. We just want to make sure there's also no confusion that somebody can go and say, hey, I'm listening to these guys, and everyone else knows that they're talking about the same guys.
Right. And hopefully, and maybe it will, with this change, it might maybe cause the same confusion or more confusion. Who knows? But at the end of the
unless
day...
Unless you're in Indonesia.
Maybe, yeah, unless you're in Indonesia. Very true, very true. Shout out to the Indonesia wrestling blog that has apparently ended in 2017. But no, yeah, it's, you know, the biggest thing was we wanted something that we liked, not just something that sounded good. And I can't stress that enough. And yeah, but I guess...
So we are going forward. We are, well, once this show gets posted, then I'm going to do all the work of actually changing everything around.
Almost officially, once and you say it, it's official.
We will be officially... Yes, we will be officially the Pro Wrestling Outsiders show.
Yeah, yeah. No confusing with PWI.
No, we're not insiders.
No.
We're outsiders.
We're outsiders. And you know what? Fitting... As passionate and as committed and as genuine of fans that Kyle and I are, we figured Pro Wrestling Outsiders because, you know, and funny enough, people are saying, you know, oh, NWO, Outsiders. No, 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 no. We are outsiders, meaning we are outside of the business, but we are such big fans
yeah.
of pro wrestling.
Yes, and I will tell you, it was very challenging finding a name that we've liked and wasn't already used or very closely used in social media and in actual podcasts, because again, we want to make sure that if we're going to change the name, we're not going to create even further confusion with everything else that's out there.
No, 100%. And yeah, and lots of names went around, and you know, and it actually got a little silly at some point, but no, yeah. So ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Pro Wrestling Outsiders show. My name is Mark.
And I am Kyle.
And welcome to PWO show.
So what's on the agenda today?
So today we're going to talk about a few things. A lot has happened over the last week. So of course, We're going to start it off with the results and the recap of Clash of Champions. Mm-hmm. We're going to go into just some, you know, some overall topical pieces from Raw and SmackDown over the last, a few days. We're going to go over the C4 show coming up as well. And I think that's it.
Yeah, well, then we'll wrap it up.
And then we'll wrap it up and go home and call it a day.
All right, so we will be right back after this short break. She'll never fall in love. Well, hello, and welcome back
to the PWO show?
The PWO show.
I almost forgot what it was, too.
The PWO show.
PWO.
Here in this segment, we are going to break down the 11 matches of Clash of Champions that took place this past Sunday, which would be the date of the 15th of September.
Always got to get that date
Charlotte, North Carolina, at the Spectrum Center. Oddly enough, AEW will be showing up at the Spectrum Center as well. So,
random side note, did you hear what AEW has called their Wednesday night
show? I sadly have.
Yep.
Dynamite!
It will be on TNT Dynamite.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's brutal. Especially, but, too, when you have multiple shows, having a name for it works, you could just call yourself AEW.
I also wonder if it's a joke.
Oh, I hope so. Like WWE Superstars, main event, because you have so many different things, it makes sense.
But
when
I
you have one
if,
show, no need for
I
a
wonder
name.
If Dynamite is just going to be a joke.
I hope so.
Because even then, Cody tweeted, was like, hey, we thinking maybe having a dinosaur as a mascot who has like what looks like sticks of dynamite in their t-shirts and he's throwing them out. And he wanted to call them, I can't remember what he called call it. But
you know what's sad? When it comes to AEW, I don't know whether they're joking or I don't know when they're joking or not, because that's something that they would be like, that sounds cool. Put it on a shirt. ProWrestlingTees.com.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Yeah, but anyways.
All right, so up first, we had the typical Cruiserweight Championship match on the pre-show.
Yep.
Drew Gulak defeating Humberto Carrillo and Lince Dorado in 10 minutes and 5 seconds. Thoughts?
Nothing too much. Exactly what we predicted, Drew Gulak winning. I think very typical 205 type match. Interesting, though, what I didn't think walking into it was, now, number one, honestly admitted, and I'm sure many people, Humberto and, you know, Lince Dorado, no idea who these people are.
Oh, you don't know Lince Dorado?
No idea.
He's part of the Lucha House Party.
Sure. I know that. Then it stops.
Oh, yeah.
You know
that's
what
it.
I mean?
He again that's, won some sort of tournament.
Yep, but I guess I mean as in anything outside of that, yeah. I don't know much of. But, you know, it was good. And the good thing about it was, number one, Drew looked great. Drew looked strong. But it was a great way to showcase these two other talents in more of a singles.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, it didn't really do anything for me because this is probably the 12th new contender for the Cruiserweight title in the last year.
Yeah.
So there's no real storyline or consistency in the Cruiserweight Championship, which maybe sounds like going to NXT.
I didn't really like this match.
No?
It's definitely, I've enjoyed other Cruiserweight Championship matches.
Oh, hell yeah.
I also am starting to get less and less a fan of Triple Threats.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like if it's not done right, it's done really badly, right? Like,
I can agree with that.
So at one point in time, like, these guys are gassed. And so at one, even the, I think it was the last pin, the ref was like, gotta have both shoulders on the mat. And then you just see him go like, and he just like jumps and moves his, and then he's like, and 1, 2, 3. I was like, yeah, he didn't quite get that right. And so it was what it was. I have no interest. If it has to be a match between two evenly matched competitors with complementary styles. They don't have to be the same. They don't have to be complete opposite complementary styles. Mm. Then I can enjoy it. This one, even when they were trying to do some of their high flying stuff, they definitely looked like they had run out of steam. And Drew, for as good as Drew is, he looked old compared to these guys.
Wasn't Drew's best performance,
yeah,
for sure. Especially when Gulak is someone that can go. You know, he's not a high flyer by any means. He's a beat 'em up, you know, very grappling style.
And I think that's a challenge when the others aren't. Right. When the others don't offer any.
Right.
Then.
Well, they always say styles make matches,
yeah.
You know. And there, this was definitely a clash of styles for sure. And I definitely agree. You know, when it comes to triple threat matches, one thing is, and I'm fine with the casual one, but for only really two reasons. Number one, someone storyline-wise has found their way in.
Yep.
Or there's two people that are earning the right for a championship match.
Yeah.
And the result is, okay, yeah, you both should be number one contenders. All right. You know, challenger's advantage at this point. So. Yeah.
But speaking of styles, let's segue into the second match on the pre-show. A surprise, I think.
Very much
so. To have AJ Styles as the U.S. champion defeating Cedric Alexander in a very short match. I will say that I enjoy this match.
Yes.
In watching it, and we've seen a lot of AJ and Cedric over the last little while.
Yep.
But it's good.
It is good.
I can't think of exact. It reminds me like anytime you have Ali in a match, you know, they work together. They tell the right story. I like that it was really more of a one-on-one and less involving the OC up front.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, this was very surprising to be on the pre-show, but I enjoyed it for the 5 minutes that the match was.
No, 100%. And I think when you look at Cedric Alexander, even though for the months that he's been on like the quote-unquote main roster, he hasn't really done much up until lately, you know, with kind of helping Roman and now kind of going for his first singles title in WWE, first title in general. But yeah, I think what I loved about this whole story and this whole package was a lot of the times when you want this very brand new up-and-coming star, where they go wrong is they always tend to have them seem stronger and better than who they're going up against, especially when, in this case, the challenger is a heel. But in this case, you know, and especially too, you said it, 4 minutes and 55 seconds, not only was it short and sweet, but Cedric got enough in, but it was convincing enough where it was almost, like I was saying to you off before recording, it was enough where you looked at it going, you know, good effort, Cedric, but not good enough yet.
It's the way that they should be pushing, unless it's the one-off character.
Yep.
Unless you have like a physically dominating character or AJ Styles kind of person who isn't going through the minor leagues, but it's coming new.
Yep.
In any other professional sport, it is very rare do you have somebody coming up and instantly dominating.
Yep.
The one in a while, you know, once in a lifetime franchise people, sure. But everybody else should be losing.
True.
Otherwise, you've instantly weakened the rest of your roster.
Yeah, and especially when you want how you want to train your audience. You know, when you want to train your audience to think, as we know, and you know, JR talks about it all the time, and most veterans talk about it, where the only way you can be better is to go up in the ring up against someone who is better than you. And this was a perfect example. Styles is, you know, astronomically better than Cedric Alexander. Cedric's good, but not there yet. And when you, to your point, when you kind of get confusing, you know, and when you kind of have, you know, like the inconsistencies where, yes, if Kenny Omega came tomorrow, you know, okay, having him beat big stars makes sense. But if you have, like, Orange Cassidy come and then he beats Daniel Bryan, doesn't make sense.
That's right.
You want to train your fans to know, you know, I walked away with my mind as a wrestling fan going, great match, great story. Styles as a heel, even though as a heel winning clean made sense because he's AJ Styles and you're Cedric Alexander, but Cedric became so much better from that match.
Yep.
So
absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So the first match of the actual pay-per-view was the Raw Tag Team Championship.
Ooh.
We had, I think not at all surprising, Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler defeating Seth and Braun.
Right.
This was an all right match. My problem was I was annoyed to the beginning because of the whole circumstance. So I don't know if I would have ever even been able to enjoy it. That's me. That's my, you know,
your stubbornness going into certain
storylines. My preconceived notions in that we have four singles competitors competing for four, you know, for tags.
Can't blame you, though. Can't blame you.
But I knew that they were going to lose because we didn't still really have that animosity leading into the Universal Championship.
No.
So you needed something. I don't think really, at the end of the match, you know, it's fine how it ended. I don't think that was really enough to create the conflict that they tried to sell throughout the rest of the pay-per-view.
Right.
I felt like if Seth had accidentally super-kicked Braun, and maybe doesn't actually knock him down, but it's just like, what the hell?
Like, what are you doing?
And then he cost by, you know, doing something to Seth. That would have made more sense. Yeah,
butting heads a little bit.
Yeah, this was just more like, oh, he pushed me, and then I took a weird... tried to hit the turnbuckle with my face, but couldn't figure it out properly, and then... So...
Yeah, and you know, and... matchmaking like this, you put yourself into a really weird corner, because when you look at it, when you say the names, Braun Strowman, Seth Rollins, Dolph Ziggler, you know, Robert Roode, for very good talents, regardless of how inconsistent Ziggler has been, he's one of the best in the business.
Absolutely.
You know, Robert Roode, as stagnant and unutilized as he's been, I'll tell you, I'm happy in this position now.
Yeah, because in NXT, though, he was...
the man.
Yeah.
The man. Even outside in TNA and everything, he was the man, and he's great. He's got a great look. He's great promo. He's great everything. It's just with a company full of stars, what do you do with him? If anything, he was probably called up too early.
Agreed.
But I think, number one, I'm very happy to see them as tag team champions because it takes it off Seth and Braun. It's hard because how do you defeat Seth and Braun? Braun last year defeated all five men when it was Cena. Joe, Braun, Roman, and he's pinning everyone, and we've seen Braun wreck everyone, but Braun can't seem to wreck Brock, you know, but then you have Seth, who is the man, because he's defeating Brock and everyone else, so when these two are together, how it's like the mega powers almost, how do you defeat this team? So to your point, kind of how you got there was a little disheveled, but I think they kind of painted themselves in that corner.
Yeah.
But no, I thought overall, you know, it was decent for what they had. It wasn't like a lights out match. But the overall highlight for me was I'm happy to see Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler, not just as champions, but doing something.
Yeah.
And doing something well. That kind of continued right into Raw and SmackDown and everything else. I just think they're kind of very similar. Two top talents with nothing to do. Popping together, and let's see what happens.
Yeah.
So.
Up next, we had the SmackDown Women's Championship. Bayley defeating Charlotte with an extremely heel move of removing the turnbuckle.
Yep.
This match was super short.
Very short.
I felt like this whole thing just shat the bed. I'm okay with Bayley doing the turnbuckle. I'm okay with it. Charlotte clearly has not taken enough faces to an exposed turnbuckle, because that didn't even make any sense. She couldn't sell it properly. It was awkward getting her to the turnbuckle.
Yeah.
I don't know if something happened where they're like, cut it quickly. I don't, you know, who knows? But the overall story is okay. I'm okay with the overall story.
Yeah. Because there's history there.
It's tough. Charlotte's a fantastic heel. But Bayley and Sasha being heels is really, really good.
Very.
So I'm okay with Charlotte being the face of this type of scenario. Yeah. How you're getting there, though, The steps in between is where I'm having issue.
Yep.
I know that you talked about it, you know, tweeted out during the night, that, and I'm in a total agreement, Bayley needs to change. She needs to change her look. She needs to...
God, yeah.
Change her... Do a Daniel Bryan thing where the fans start calling for the things that you want. What should have happened, and I actually thought it was going to happen, because there was a bit of delay when she kind of leaned back and was waiting for the... Bayley buddies, or whatever they call them, the wacky waving two men. Is that they shouldn't have gone? She should have listened. Like,
oh,
you know,
that would have been good.
Point at it and be like, no.
And then go like, nope. And then keep that. Right. Would have been great.
Those are the kind of things, great. Right? So this match felt completely flat for me. It was thankfully only 3 minutes and 45 seconds.
Yeah.
So it was a blip on the radar. Where do you see it?
And that's why I tweeted that out. I tweeted it out the moment she walked down the aisle. You know, very reminiscent of, you know, like obviously some notable ones, you know, people doing it wrong versus people doing it right. Daniel Bryan did it right, and he wasn't coming down going, yes, yes, yes. You know, he wasn't pandering to the crowd, you know, but then Moose doing it wrong, where even when he was a heel, he was walking down pumping that fist, Moose. Moose, and the crowd was going with him.
So that's the problem, right? Like, if the crowd didn't go with him, then that's fine, because the crowd is encouraging the heel.
100%.
Right? We're like, we're not on board with you.
Because you're almost doing it as a,
like, hey,
a taunt
like,
now.
Come on. Like, or, hey, come on, guys. Like
you love me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But when Bailey comes out, big smiles. And I'm even fine if she smiles. Because sometimes in a heel that can
fans.
Be. But then kind of doing her, like, her rolling up and throwing her hands to the crowd.
Yeah.
And then the crowd's doing it back to them. You know, all the little, you know, all the little Bailey fans and everyone. And then she's doing a little dance. And then, oh, there's the inflatable tube man. And the whole thing was babyface. Too huggy, too cutesy, too... Like, I want to see her not do... I want to just see her with a shit-eating grin on her face. Like she had when she turned and hit Becky.
Yes.
That smile she gave to Sasha... and I just want her to come out and almost like deny hugs. Have segments in the locker room where people are like, Bailey, hug. And then she was like, we don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Like denying hugs. Cause everyone will go, whoa, like Bailey hugs. That's what she does.
Yeah.
That's what we know her for. Little things like that are what I think can help her. I don't think her being a heel is a hard thing. I think it's the selling she's a heel is a hard thing. So, but no, overall for the match. Yeah. 3 minutes and change. I almost felt like something was wrong.
Yeah.
Because right afterwards, she grabbed the title and ran to the back.
Yeah.
I kind of was thinking, well, maybe that was like a gotcha, running away before Charlotte kicks my ass.
But even Charlotte didn't even really react.
No, she kind of like tried to make up for the selling.
Yeah.
Because like you said, and I agree, like the hitting it, and that's kind of hard because it is a legit exposed turnbuckle at the bottom. And she kind of did that little shuffle roll from the ref to the trip to the down. So it is a long way for being tall. But I don't know, just for something that could have been so great. Because let's be honest, Bailey, like her or hate her, she can put on great matches. We've seen it with Sasha. We've seen it with Charlotte. And this could have been a moment for a heel to even legitimately beat Charlotte and just walk away and be like,
yeah,
told you. So, yeah.
All right, up next we have the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championships. The Revival are your new SmackDown Tag Team Champions.
And new.
The first ever, which is such a ridiculous stat, to be the NXT, Raw, and SmackDown Champions.
Yep.
Because there's been no other opportunities. Defeating the New Day, Xavier Woods and Big E. I enjoyed this match. I always love watching the Revival. When they're on, they are really on. They're crisp. They're quick. They have tag team going. New Day, again, also great tag team together.
Great tag team.
Even though that's been really Kofi on his own, Big E and Xavier. Yeah,
they're brothers. They're there for each other, but they're separate.
Yeah, yeah. But they still roll smoothly. Working Xavier's leg, you know, it's all making sense. They're all building this story. I really enjoyed this match. It was the right length at 10 minutes and 15 seconds.
Yep.
Yes, it could have gone longer, but I feel like at this point, if you had made it longer, you're only risking not having as solid a match because...
But if anything, that's what you know a good match was made out of.
Yeah.
I want to see more.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't need to be more. It didn't need to be less. I if it was more, I want to see more.
Yeah.
Which is great. Yeah. And no, I completely agree. It's when you talk about tag teams and inconsistencies and legitimacy, there's no more legitimate match you could have put together. The New Day is, like Big E and Xavier, a legitimate tag team. The Revival, legitimate as you get. I loved it, and you brought up a really good point that I was glad that you did. The knee. The knee on Xavier Woods weeks ago, you know, when, you know, FTRKO.
That's right.
Now known. Fuck the RKO is apparently what it's called. We put it as explicit.
It's
on this
forever. Movie. I can. I will now.
Yeah, perfect. but no, yeah, it's... it was great because it's been something he's been... You know, he's got the knee brace on, and he tried to overcome it. You know what I mean? He pushed through it, but it kept coming back and haunting him, and it was the... That was, obviously, his Achilles heel was that knee... Turned into submission.
And boom, even he and sold it throughout the match, too.
He did.
He tried to do certain things, didn't have as much gusto. Yeah.
On the top rope, kind of shaking a little bit, even holding his knee, trying to adjust a knee pad.
Yeah, that's,
you know, it's
what you want.
Yeah. No, love it. Great match.
So, the last tag team match of the evening was the women's tag team. We had Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross defeating Fire and Desire. Can't figure out which one's Fire or Desire. Keep thinking it. One way or another, and I think Sonya's Fire and Mandy's
Sonya's
Desire.
Sonya's Fire, and because Mandy Rose is desirable.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
To be honest with you, I don't really remember this match.
I do.
I like Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. I would actually like to see them facing off against the Iconics. You know, because
they'll be due. Yeah,
right.
Because
they've done a good job of selling this tag team. They now have the matching shirts, which at first I didn't realize they were matching. And I didn't notice until Nikki, you notice that Nikki's got the little doll off the side. Yep. I keep thinking at some point in time, Alexa's going to, you know, cause her to go crazy.
Any given time, you can maybe just backstab her.
Right.
Or, yeah.
But then she's like, no, she is in this. And so it's kind of reassuring that, okay, we're taking this serious. I can get behind this because they're clearly behind it. Mandy Rose and Sonya, also a credible women's tag team. They've always been.
Yep.
I'm okay with it as well. Like I said, I just really, for whatever reason, this match and the next one, I just can't quite remember too much. Not that it was necessarily because it was terrible or anything. It just didn't have anything for me that I could have remembered.
No, for this, it was good. And, you know, very big kudos to Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. Number one, they still have a lot of work to do with their ability to carry through work. You know, they can take great bumps, absolutely. They don't follow through with a lot of their punches, their kicking. You know, they're kind of like their little attempt of super kicks and big kicks, like a lot of the females do. But no, this had everything that it needed. It had some really funny spots with obviously Mandy Rose doing the whole arms up,
that
and then Nikki Cross kind of doing her little disheveled.
That was
like,
good.
Ooh,
that was good.
You know, I'm sexy because obviously recently, you know, Mandy was obviously saying I'm unattractive, and which number one, Nikki. If I don't look at Nikki Cross outside of, and she's not ugly, but regardless of which, it's not about ugly or attractive. But yeah, it's, you know, Alexa Bliss and Nikki have created something. I feel like it was a couple months ago when we were both like, you know. But I love this because now we're like, they're sipping like backstage segments. They're sipping tea together, and they're sisters.
Yeah,
you know, like they're family almost. And I really hope they keep it up. Yes. If all of a sudden one day Alexa turns her back on Nikki, you know, you're the ugly one, whatever. But we don't need to go down those routes. We've done that. We're doing it now with Nikki, which is unneeded. They did it with Nia, you know, Jax a while ago. You just don't need to do it. And Alexa can't keep being because Alexa was the person that Nikki is, you know. Yes, Alexa Bliss is attractive, but that doesn't need to be any part of any storyline.
No,
ever.
I mean, I think when it happens, because obviously nothing lasts forever, it'll be something either Nikki costs them the belt for no reason, but just that, and then Alexa blames her.
Yeah.
Or Alexa gets an offer to face for the SmackDown or Raw championship.
Right. It's like, we're not going to be tag teams anymore.
Yeah. Like, you know, hey, it's I have this opportunity. I'm going to take this. And Nikki's like, well, what do you mean?
You know what would be cool? Imagine she glamorizes, like, not talking about looks per se, but
just
she glams Nikki so much where then Nikki's coming out and like, you know, a little gear, and all of a sudden everyone's giving her more attention, and that's another thought that I was going through. But no, overall, you know, it was just as long as it should have been, 9 minutes and 5 seconds. Mandy and Sonya, yes, you know, as a little unpolished as they are, you know, legitimate tag team, 100%, because they've been the longest. What was it, Absolution? You know, with Paige.
I still say they should have kept that one, but anyways.
Yeah. Well, for sure. But clearly, fire
and desire.
Desire, whatever.
All right, up next, the Intercontinental Championship, Shinsuke Nakamura defeating The Miz. I didn't enjoy this. I didn't enjoy the storyline. I don't like the Shinsuke-Sammy thing. I think The Miz is bigger than this. And I feel like he's in a spot, too, now where he's kind of stuck, because they're really pushing set people for the championships, and he is above the Intercontinental. So where does he fit?
I think on that note, because that's a very good point, and, you know, I'm a massive Miz fan.
Yeah.
I think The Miz should be WWE champion right now, and he should hold it and break the record. Like, I'm that behind The Miz. Such a great worker, such a good promo, such a good company guy. Especially if you, once again, I know we pitch it every now and then, up, up, down, down, Xavier Woods gaming YouTube channel. Recently they did a two-parter where Xavier and Miz just kind of sat down and just had a little food together and talked about life. Miz super down to earth, super cool, super funny. And it's actually funny, they have a little rivalry where over the last, I think, year, Miz is adamant at beating Xavier at games, where he'll actually put titles that he's won. So he put his, like way back when he won the United States Championship, he put it up, like, if you beat me, you get my United States Championship. And so he's lost his United States Championship, he's lost his Intercontinental Championship. I think he just lost, last week, and spoiler alert, he lost Maurice's Divas Championship. Like, it's really, really funny, some of the storylines that Xavier does, plus with the Up, Up, Down, Down Championship that's defended at any time, right, with any game. It's brilliant, brilliant work. But no, yeah, Miz, I think I totally agree with you, number one. They need to figure out Nakamura. They need to figure out Sammy. Maybe if this whole team is more long and see what they're doing with it, maybe we'll have a different opinion. I think Shinsuke's just really stuck in a rut on what to do and how to present himself. You know, I think they're hoping the Intercontinental title will help with that. Maybe Sammy will help with that. I don't know. I think The Miz will shine more when they do the brand split again. And it's a true brand split. I think where The Miz is getting lost is WWE has him on so many different other projects and movies and things, plus being a full-time wrestler. And they have this wild card thing where everyone's on every show. True brand split, I think The Miz will be able to shine more because he doesn't have to worry about half the other roster being on the show. So, but no, overall, okay match. You know, Miz looked good, Shinsuke looked good, but overall, it was a screw job for Miz. Miz lost the moment the match started, so.
All right, now we're into the last half of the night, the longer matches of the night.
In the meat.
Sasha Banks defeating Becky by disqualification. I really enjoyed this match. I really enjoyed it once the match was not officially deemed over, but clearly deemed over.
Yeah.
I loved it. I loved that they got into the crowd. I loved that they went upstairs. I loved they went in the back. And I loved that Sasha was just like, oh man, what did I start? I surely shouldn't have done this. And it shows Becky is still strong and be like, no, you don't really mess with Becky. She needs to just talk. And I mean, getting to that point, the chair thing was a little awkward. There was a delay in calling the match over.
Yeah.
But that's like a nitpicky thing. But other than that, like, I loved how they were getting to the crowd, and I was, you know, watching with a friend of mine, and he kept saying, oh, that's a plant. I was like, there is no way that 12-year-old kid is a plant. There's no way that other guy is a plant. Was like you could tell when they're plants to security.
Right.
This was like, no, like, we're going pure. And then I think in the concourse was some security in there in plain clothes. But no, I thought they went back and forth fantastically. So I'm going to say it now. Like, already calling out Hell in the Cell for Becky and Sasha on Monday's Raw is annoying. It was a foregone conclusion. It's just annoying that you call it so early. But I thought this match was premature in its storyline, but I'm happy they did it because I really enjoyed it.
So, and it's funny. So, number one, I agree with everything you just said. I feel, and this might help you when you look at it, this match was not for the championship.
No.
This match was the welcome back party for Sasha Banks in a big way.
Absolutely.
And once when I looked at it, because I completely agree, it's kind of like, well, where's that build? And yes, we don't always need to have a build, but it'd be kind of nice because it could do something really good.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, and you mentioned it, and I do agree, you know, right away talking about, you know, The Fiend and Seth Rollins, you know, Seth opening Raw saying, like, and I'm going to be facing The Fiend at Hell in a Cell. Okay, where's the build?
Well, Kevin already knew that, too, because they were previewing Hell in a Cell.
Sasha and Becky make sense because it's there.
Yep.
Right away, it was easy for, like, we don't need to see that. Like, yes, we're going to face each other again because we unfinished business. Perfect. And if anything, so I do agree with you, you know, I guess sometimes there's no, like, it's hard for a middle ground because sometimes we complain that matches are booked too late, booked too early. But at the same time, at least with this one, we know where they're going. And week after week, we can see them build to that.
Yeah,
in that one case.
Yeah, exactly.
Not every case.
No, it really depends on who the two people are.
100%.
And if you really want to see them together, then you're rooting for a great build-up.
100%.
If you think AJ Finn, you're like, no, this is going to be a great match. I don't need a story. This is going to be a great match.
I just want each week to go, what are they going to do with each other?
Ideally, Dolph and Seth. Great in-ring, two in-ring workers. I don't need a story.
Nope.
They can put on a great match.
Yep.
If you have people with the potential to have a really great story, then you want the time to build that story.
Especially, too, Seth is pun not intended, the man. Seth Rollins had probably one of the best years in 2018 than anyone has in a long time, since probably John Cena in his early years, 10-plus years ago. Bray Wyatt, 2.0. Hot as hell. This Fiend thing is coming in. It's raining. And it was the perfect build for a short period of time. A dozen weeks of Firefly Funhouse, morphing into the Fiend, seeing the Fiend debut, Fiend going against Balor, but then Fiend attacking Legends. Legends, Legends, Legends. Almost made you think, well, maybe his next match will be against a Legends, but no, he's just eating his way to anyone that he wants. It's like this past week with Kane. It was perfect.
Yeah.
And I loved the shot. WWE has lots of ups and downs, and I love them. One thing that they do better than anyone is how they shoot their show.
Yeah.
You know, the whole Fiend behind him and Kane standing there looking down, almost knowing, I know what this is.
Yeah.
You know, like it was a great shot.
It's like a typical horror film. Yeah. You're like, oh, I know I'm gonna die.
Yeah, and so if Hell in a Cell, let's just say, is in 4 or 5 weeks from now, you know, give us 2-3 weeks. The good thing about certain builds, and to your point, and that I also agree, you know, sometimes you know where they're going. Perfect. But you don't need to say it yet.
Yeah.
Make it to the point where, like, Seth is like, hey, I'm having a time of my life. I'm beating Braun. I'm beating Brock. I'm beating Itch Styles. I'm beating everyone right now. You have hardly been back for a hot minute.
Yeah.
Like, you're just crazy. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Fiend finds a way to set Seth off to go, you know what? Fine.
Yeah.
You're going to get it.
Even then, if he goes and starts attacking everybody else, and if they use the Firefly Funhouse, be like, hey, like, the Fiend gave me this message that he's going to keep going until you face him.
Or everyone personal to Seth.
Yeah.
Maybe take Mandible Claw's Becky. Mandible Claw's Roman.
Yeah.
Mandible Claw's, I don't know, Seth is backstage with his best bro, who's not even a wrestler.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But we're here in Cleveland, and this is my best bro in Cleveland, and attacks his best friend.
Yeah.
Make it personal.
With the Mandible Claw, too, you don't have to get into a match with it.
No.
It's a sneak attack.
Yep.
Fingers down the throat. Game over, and it
bing bang bong,
and it's effective, right? It pushes along
100%. But yeah, but just to wrap up the other point, you know, Sasha Becky killed it, really rejuvenated, especially being the eighth match of the night for that crowd.
Yep.
Crowd was behind them, and yeah, Becky Lynch, maybe a little bit ago, we kind of thought she was losing some steam.
Yep,
she ain't losing no steam. Sasha's back. Sasha's on fire, and on top of that too, her first really big match since being back on a pay-per-view, killed it. Sasha looked like $1 million that night.
Yeah. All right, now we're up to the longest match of the night, the WWE Championship match. Kofi Kingston retaining against what I think is a very impressive Randy Orton.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about it at work, and even when you think Randy is on his way out, he comes in with a match. And to me, this wasn't about Kofi. This was a showcase of Randy.
Yep.
Randy controlled a lot of it. He did it really well. Kofi found a way to win.
Yep.
He is the typical underdog champion. He finds a way to win. Yep. I find it interesting that his Trouble in Paradise is still effective. They haven't ruined it.
Yep.
And so
when you get that Trouble in Paradise, you're out.
Yeah, and it, you know, it happened on whatever SmackDown, Raw, whatever it was this week.
Yep.
But again, you know, they're making it work. And so the match was way better than I was expecting, considering that they didn't go down a no DQ route.
Yes.
I was really happy, really impressed. And again, I can see if Randy had a slightly different personality, how he could have been John Cena instead of John Cena.
Yep.
He'll never surpass John Cena in terms of championships. I don't think you'll see Randy Orton.
He's close. He's at like close. 13-14.
Right. I don't think you're going to see Randy Orton get another championship.
No.
But that's what I mean. He could do the work in the ring, and I'm like, wow, that is really impressive, because I thought he was kind of on his way out. But if he had just found a way to win the crowd over a little more in a way of being marketable, then you're like, oh yeah, I could see Randy being the man.
Yeah.
For a long time. But again, it's not his role, but he's still selling his role really, really well.
Oh God, yeah. No, and that's a great point to bring up. And I'm, you know, and I know whenever good things happened, a lot of us tend to always go like, show me a better person. But I legitimately say, show me anyone in the history of the business of all time, 50, 60, 70, 80s, George Hackenschmidt back in 1890, that he can go away from the title picture for so long, be on the undercard, United States Championship, just kind of like no championship matches, little rivalries here and there. But then the moment he's back in, it fits and looks so beautiful.
Yeah.
Randy Orton is main event.
Yeah.
You know, he is a main event star. When he's done and he's walked away from wrestling, number one, I hope he contributes to wrestling. I hope he goes to the Performance Center,
yeah,
stands right side by side with Triple H and shows people, because the mind games, the promo, the body of work, there is no such thing as a bad Randy Orton match. He's the Shawn Michaels of a completely different era.
Yeah.
You know, and he's so good, and he's been doing it for so long. What was it, 2002, 2003 when he debuted about? And, you know, we're looking close to 16, 17 years.
Yep.
Consistently on the roster, not many breaks at all. And I think this was a huge win for Kofi. It was a clean, legitimate win against Randy Orton, and I thought that this win really put Kofi on another level, better than what AJ did, Daniel did, Samoa did, anyone did. I think that night, not only was it a beautiful match, 20 minutes, perfect amount of time, but I think Randy Orton did a lot for Kofi Kingston that night. And I, even after that match, I look at Kofi differently. I look at him actually so much better because he was able to cleanly beat a hot, top, strong Randy Orton.
All right. Second last match of the night. No disqualification match. Eric Rowan with the assistance of the return of Luke Harper.
So happy Luke's back.
Defeating, you DM'd him directly? Did he DM you back? Are you guys now best friends?
I don't know. Let me check.
Okay.
Maybe he didn't.
Defeated Roman Reigns in an interesting match. It wasn't a bad no qualification match. I've enjoyed other ones more, but
he did not write back.
Well, when you keep telling that you love him over and over again.
No, it was just one message. I promise.
It was nice to see Luke back.
Hey, Luke. I don't usually DM wrestling stars, but I can't help but send a note saying, because he also tweeted saying my DMs are open. That to me was like, I want some love. I'm back. I'm having happy thoughts. I couldn't help but saying how incredibly happy that I am that you returned last night. I really hope that they do right by you and let you show the world how good you are, and that you, and I hope that you are happy in WWE. I know that you, the universe adores you, and we are behind you.
P.S. I love you.
That was message 491.
Sorry,
continue.
So, to me, you know, what do we do with Luke and Eric? I think Roman has turned into a very interesting person for me now. He's becoming more like John Cena, where it's okay for him to lose, and he's willing to accept losing. So, and I'm okay with that. I think it helps create some more versatility in what you can do with Roman.
Right.
There was some really good, violent things that you're looking for in an ODQ.
Yep.
You know, when Roman took the piece of the whatever it was, the equipment, it just started slugging. Like, I was like, ooh, that does not... He's not letting up.
Like when he got that bar thing and whapped him on the side. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, so that's what you want. And so, you know, this was, to me, again, probably better than I was expecting.
Yeah.
Though I don't like the Eric Rowan Reigns story, but that's okay because I like the match and it makes up for the story that we were at.
No, for sure. And I think sometimes, you know, and I know you and I are very similar in the sense where even though we'll still have an opinion on something, sometimes we just have to accept things for what they are. This whole attacker of Roman, and there was lots of word that apparently something changed and something got rewritten for whatever reason. And but no, you know, kudos to Rowan. You know, looked good. He doesn't have a whole lot of singles matches. He's not, like, he's well known, but he's not well known for his ring work. He's well known for being in the Wyatt family, a bludgeon brother. You know, Daniel Bryan's sidekick. But no, he held his own against Roman, and no one can say otherwise. You know, he really, really did. And he was a convincing big guy that night against a dominant superstar in Roman Reigns. And to your point about Roman, I completely agree. I love how, and I know we keep saying this, and we probably have to stop because now it's just a matter of fact, but he's been back, you know, for a good little bit now since his time off. And, you know, it's not about title pictures. He's happy where he's at, creating these little storylines. He'll get there eventually. He's only 12. Carry the one. He's only like 6 years into his career. Yeah. In WWE, and he wasn't wrestling for that. So, like, Roman Reigns has not been wrestling for that long versus, you know, like, less than 10 years for sure. And I'm sure he's got a lot to offer, but I love how it's a slow burn with Roman. I'm going to be very interesting to see, once again, brand split. It's a complete 50-50. Where does he fit there with the title picture? But yeah, and then yeah, Harper. I'm a huge Harper fan. I watched Harper on the Independence.
I like him a lot.
He's a really good talent.
I want them to do something with them.
Right. And now I think we just got to hopefully not hold our breath, but just wait and see. Do they do right by them? Are the Bludgeon Brothers back or a version of that?
I don't want the Bludgeon Brothers.
Put masks on them and put them with Bray.
I don't even want masks. I don't want masks. I don't want singlet get-up things.
And then they can be called the Fiend and the Friend. Or Fiend and Friends. There we go.
I would have loved had Luke Harper shown up on the Firefly Funhouse.
Oh, that would have been
when they were
great.
Talking about it before. That would have been amazing.
Yeah.
And not as great. Like an over-exaggerated like friend like you do on other shows, yep. Like Bray is. But Luke, like that would have been amazing.
Imagine it was like, because whenever I see Harper, he's got a very disheveled look.
Yeah.
Big beard. Can't see his mouth. Bald head. Big long hair. You know, in not like huge muscly shape, but not unathletic by any means, and he's a big man. You know, to see him almost like a goofy.
Yeah,
like a cartoon goofy
sweater vest.
Yeah.
You know, actually, you know, put some oil in the beard, yep. Comb the hair.
And it's almost like Bray's way of I've turned my former friends, do a little small build, and then it's almost like it's his Fiend and his Fireflies or however you want to put it. But no, do right by Rowan. Rowan's done a really good job, you know, especially to give it for Rowan. He doesn't say a whole lot and he doesn't do a whole lot, and we're talking
they're
about
giving him the mic now.
They're giving him the mic now. But no, he's a big man, he's a good big man. Harper's an even better big man. But yeah, all we can do is cross our fingers and hope for the best. But yeah, not so bad. And hey, congrats Rowan for being the co-main event of the evening.
Now we're at the last match.
Burn it down.
Seth Rollins defeating the monster among men, Braun Strowman.
I always want to say snowman every time I see his last
name. He's now the King Slayer, the Beast Slayer, and the Monster Slayer.
And the phenomenal Monster Slayer.
Yeah, I mean, this was a really good match. I really enjoyed it. I love that Braun Strowman went off that top rope.
Ooh,
and
yes!
And he went off like, he didn't even do the stop short and then fall over. Like, he flat out.
Or a tuck. That was a full arms right out, belly right to Seth's body.
It was good.
Yes, I
everything
forgot
was
about that.
Sold correctly. You know, we talked about it before. You and I were talking about it beforehand. It didn't make either one weaker.
Nope.
Because that's always the trick. I thought maybe by going with bringing AJ Styles into the triple threat, making a triple threat is how you keep everybody strong.
Right.
Because you don't put the wrong pieces together. But this worked out well.
Yep.
You know, and who was it that you said had said it best with regards to Braun keep getting
oh
back up?
Right. And so it was his comment, but it's not my original idea. So the original idea and comment came from Jim Cornette on his Drive Through podcast a couple of weeks ago when he was talking about NXT UK Cardiff. He was referring to Walter versus Tyler Bate in the main event. And one thing that Jim Cornette pointed out was the best part about the end of Tyler Bate and Walter was how Walter, big splash, power bomb, big, like 3 to 4 big moves, and Tyler Bate kept kicking out. But then after that one big final move, and out of all 3-4 of those times, Tyler did not get any offense in. He didn't come back at all.
Yeah.
You know, and Cornette was saying what's beautiful about that is not it helps both sides, where not only do they go, God damn, Walter, you're so good, but holy crap, how tough is Tyler Bate? Yeah. It took 4 big moves with no ability for offense. And so I thought of that in Seth and Braun. They have built Seth so strong that it is very much believable to beat Braun. He's beaten Brock twice, Styles. He's beaten everyone from 2018 and this year so far. So Seth can beat anyone at this point. But it wasn't, it was, you know, Oh my God.
Curb stomp.
Curb stomp. There we go. You know, curb stomp, curb stomp, curb stomp. Big moves, you know, pedigree. But Braun got no offense out of all three or four of those continuous moves.
Yeah.
And then finally the big one, one, two, three. Holy crap, look how tough Seth is. Oh my God, how tough is Braun?
Yeah.
He couldn't put him away that easily.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so beautifully said because that is so true. And I think a lot of wrestling fans miss that. And I saw some people on Twitter going, oh, it took Seth four times to put him down. Seth is really weak. You're not getting the point.
Yeah.
Oh my God, how good is he to beat him down that badly? But oh my God, how good is Braun for taking it that much?
Yeah.
So
at the end of the match, Seth is celebrating his win, and lights go.
Little electrical issue.
The whole issue, and the Fiend comes, and
Sister Abigail's him right to the ground.
Yeah, and then gives the mandible claw.
Yep.
My only issue is we knew this was coming. They'd even led in advertising for Hell in a Cell that the Fiend was going to be there. And the Fiend talked about it.
Right.
So that was the only...
He'd been talking... It was very apparent.
Yeah.
He was talking about Seth leading up to... And wanting the winner of Seth and Braun leading up to in his Firefly Funhouse promos.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I would have attacked Seth. I maybe would have attacked Braun. After Braun's already, because he's already like, you know, bruised and battered, and then maybe Seth celebrates, and then
that way that could have been an option. Yeah,
leads the Fiend and Seth being like, hey,
yeah, that could have been a statement to Braun. It's almost no, that's true.
Just an option.
Yeah, no. I'm thinking about it, and it's kind of like, you know. I try to picture things where like Seth is staring down off the ramp, and where is he? Because every time this happens, they're behind him.
Yeah.
But maybe he's not behind him this time.
That's right.
He's in the ring, and Braun's trying to just collect himself, and then boom, mandible claw, and then Seth just kind of like, oh my God, and just gets out of there.
Yeah.
You know, so no. I actually like that idea. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
But no, great match. Great. And you know what? Hey, that, like, you know, a Clash of Champions, great event. Great event overall, man.
Yeah, it was solid, and I liked it. It wasn't long overall.
Nope.
I'm getting the 7 o'clock show start. I feel like it's so it doesn't go on too late.
I love that it was done before 11.
Yeah, it can be terrible. If it's done before 11, win.
Yep.
Because at least if it's terrible, then it's still done before 11.
Yep.
If it's great and it goes beyond 11, you're annoyed.
You're annoyed.
It went beyond 11.
Well, that's it, because we don't mind staying up late to watch wrestlings or events like UFC. I hate UFC sometimes when they're in Eastern Standard Time and like their main event goes on at like 12:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I'm watching it just going, why can't you be earlier?
Yeah.
Like, geez. But overall, great event. Great job. Big statement, you know. Since AEW's been there, you know, you had SummerSlam, you got that, you know, Clash of Champions, got Hell in the Cell coming up, which is coming up next. I guess we were talking about it earlier, but when is Hell in, let's see.
October 6th.
Oh, that's soon.
Yeah, that's like 3 weeks.
It's the 19th today. Hold on, let's see. Blip, blop.
I should know this.
One.
It's my kid's birthday.
Two. It's 2 weeks from now.
Two and a half.
Two and a half.
It would have been three. Yeah. It'll be three from the Hell in the from the
yeah.
last week.
One. Yeah, two. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this in 3 days, it'll be 2 weeks. Yeah. So, wow. That's crazy.
All right.
But no, let's take a quick break. And then we come back. We'll just talk about, you know, just some notable mentions and topical things we liked about Raw and SmackDown. And then we'll cap off the show with some C4 talk.
You got it. We shall be back.
Be right back. She'll never fall in love. She'll never fall in love. Her dude was approaching, chick was swagger. He danced with the moves like he was Jagger. Papa was around his town. It's not her fault, she's all alone. Trust issues, that's where the drizzy. Ain't got time for God, she too busy. Spinning their Welcome back. How's it going? Been a while. All right, so now that we talked about the Clash of Champions, we're going to do something a little different. You know, a lot of the times we kind of break down Raw and SmackDown, and we try to break it down like almost each segment. And so we're going to try something a little bit new, really. We want to, as we always do on the show, we talk about the things that we want to talk about. And we've watched Raw and SmackDown. Let's just talk about some, you know, topics that we found the most interesting throughout the week. So, Kyle, how about this? We've got a couple of topics. I'll throw it out there. I'll kind of talk about what I felt, and then let me know what you think about it.
Sounds good.
So in no specific order, of course, this past Tuesday on SmackDown, we saw something a little different. There's been a long storyline in between Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon. Now, what we do know is from previous week, Kevin Owens did not help Shane advance and or win anything about the King of the Ring. And he then fired Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is now without a job and unemployed. This week, Kevin Owens has brought his most fierce tag team partner he could, which is his lawyer. between all of the mental mind games, the fines, the firing, and everything else, unlawful firing, either which way, the big thing that looks like what they're reaching to is a chance at Shane McMahon being fired. And also losing millions of dollars, apparently. I know when we've been talking about this, the biggest thing that both you and I, and I know you've been very passionately about and wanting to see Shane go away. I love Shane. I think of the Shane from the old, the Attitude Era, but at the same time, I don't think Shane can fit as an on and off returning character here and there. But I think Shane needs to go. I think he's taking up way too many segments. Like, for example, we talk about filling in stars and Cedric and Buddy Murphy and all these people. And is there room for The Miz? The fact that one of the owners or the owner's son is getting 2 to 3 segments per week when The Miz can hardly get one sometimes is kind of crazy. So I passed a question to you. It took us a while to get here. Looks like Shane may or may not lose his career and his millions. Imagine, like, the storyline was he was broke as... But... Try not to swear. But no, what do you think? What do you think where we are now this past Tuesday on SmackDown? And how do you feel about it? And where do you hope this goes?
So I was hoping it would be done by now. I liked when Daniel and Shane ran SmackDown.
Yeah, it was a good time.
I liked that one. I liked the positivity. I like it was they're looking to make interesting matches and yeah. That
gave opportunity.
Yeah, yep. And I liked it. That's the only time I've liked Shane in the last while, is when he was just there as, hey, you want to win? Let me do it. It's challenging for me because I really like Kevin Owens. He is one of my favorite. That's why it's so early. Sorry, I got sidetracked.
Sorry, that was my bad.
Kevin Owens, one of my favorite wrestlers. I feel like he got shafted on the Universal title when he had it. I loved how he got it. I loved him and Jericho. I just think he got shafted with running into the Goldberg thing.
Yeah.
And then he just hasn't really gotten back up. And then when he started doing the stunners, we're like, all right, he's back. And then we're back to this where Shane actually can beat him up. And I don't like it.
Yeah, it's tough.
I'm going to stop talking about it now. It's going to anger me too much.
No, it's okay. No, and it's tough, right? And I think as much as we complain sometimes at WWE, you know, like, oh, underutilizing certain talent, and, oh, they don't know what to do with so-and-so, let's call it what it is. WWE knows exactly what to do with everyone, and they're in a really bad spot where they have heightened everyone to a spectacular level. Even like your mid-carders are main eventers, essentially. And Kevin Owens has kind of slipped into that, and I agree. Where he was one of my favorites on the independents. He's definitely one of probably my top 3 favorite stars in wrestling today. And it sucks. But if anything, I'm hopeful where he is the cause of Shane McMahon's no longer being a part of WWE. At least on an on TV role. And then from there, once again, and I'm going to say it for the third time, brand split, no more wild card. He might give him an opportunity to thrive. I think with all these big stars going back and forth and Roman being on both shows every week and Styles and the OC being on both shows, those are great stars. They deserve it, but only so many people can do it. So my future for Kevin Owens is very hopeful. And actually just speaking of it, and it's so true where, yeah, we never got anything from Triple H helping him win in a spectacular fashion, kind of almost handing him the belt and Kevin Owens sitting there, you know, never got anything from that. We had the Festival of Friendship, you know, which actually I just purchased Toys R Us. If you're a toy collector, a figure collector, it is $69.99. Toys R Us has it for $20 right wow. now. It's the full gear, Jericho in the gear with the U.S. title, Kevin Owens in a really sweet Fight Owens Fight shirt with the Universal title, and it has everything. The TV, it has the little the list of KO, yeah. a pen, a mic. It's great, and it's $20 right now at Toys R Us. But no, yeah, so let's hope. Kevin, get rid of Shane and get back up there where we want you to be. Next topic, King of the Ring Finals was this past Monday on Raw. We had Baron Corbin taking on Chad Gable. As we do know now, spoiler warning, Baron Corbin is the new 2019 King of the Ring. My comment on the King of the Ring in general, when you actually look back at all the brackets, this was a really good King of the Ring. Every match was really well done. It wasn't overly filled with top stars, which was great. I thought it was a great platform for people to showcase. Very surprised ending. Number one ending, more so meaning we predicted Drew to win and go all the way with potentially, you know, Ali or someone near the end with him. Did not happen. Baron Corbin, you know, Gable making his way in there. They had a hell of a match on Monday too. Very, very good match. Baron Corbin, as even though a heel, that month he took off, 4 or 5 weeks he took off a little bit ago, he's almost a new man. A little bit different. He's not wrestling with, like, the suit, complete suit, and, you know, the long sleeve shirt and everything. But not only is his wrestling crisp, he's winning legitimately every single match. And I almost feel the universe is starting to look at Baron and go, okay. Yeah, you are a badass now. I still think we're a long ways away from there because people will remember, you know, like the GM, you know, like Corporal Corbin and all that stuff. And but I think Baron Corbin, I think this can do a lot for Baron Corbin. Obviously, what I said, what I hope didn't happen a couple of weeks ago, it did happen on SmackDown, hopefully just for one night. But now he's King Corbin with the crown, with the cape, with the scepter. But overall, I thought the whole journey for the King of the Ring was really, really well done when you look back on all the matches. You know, we saw some sweet advancements from Ricochet, Samoa Joe. Unfortunately, Elias is injured and out now. Apparently, he's fractured his ankle, I think it was. But no, we got to an ending where we didn't really think we were going to go. And I thought, you know, I thought even though this loss did a lot for Gable just being in the finals of the King of the Ring. What are your thoughts on the King of the Ring and the match we had on Monday?
So I actually says this, I mean, it's not sad. It sounds awful, but I'm glad that, I'm not glad that he got hurt, but I'm glad that Elias was removed because I felt like it made for a better opportunity. I just don't really like where Elias is right now. I don't like, obviously, as we said before, that Shane was involved, but I like that Chad got through. The height thing is really weird to me because I never noticed how short he was until now they pointed out. And now I can't
Corbin's really tall. He's like 5, he's like 6'9".
But Chad Gable's 5'9". So he's not short.
Yeah, it's Daniel Bryan's height.
Yeah, but Daniel Bryan, they don't make Daniel Bryan look that short like the way they've done with Chad Gable.
True.
Now, I mean, they may have done it before. Corbin's a pure heel.
Yep.
Through and through. He is probably the only pure heel. He doesn't get any cheers.
Since Miz was a pure heel.
Right.
Since then, but your point, totally agree.
AJ's a heel, but people still love him.
100%.
Everybody hates Corbin.
Yeah.
So, him winning, I'm very okay with. As long as they do something with it.
Yep.
And it has to matter. Or, it's fine, he wins, and then we move on. They don't carry the moniker through every week. If it's not going to actually matter, then just highlight any, you know, little side thing instead of the golden glove, put that he's the King of the Ring winner.
Yep.
Mention it a couple times periodically, and then move on. That was otherwise, other than it showing up on Raw, I thought the King of the Ring was good. I'm used to the giant spectacle of King of the Ring.
Yeah.
So I kind of miss that still.
Or if anything, make it the main event of Raw.
Yeah. I just feel like it wasn't, it was like a breakout tournament.
Yeah. But something changed. I think maybe they looked how stacked Clash was, and maybe it would have got lost, so they wanted to put it on its own show. But I agree. I also, like I said before, I thought King of the Ring should be an event. Go all the way through, weeks and weeks and weeks, final four people, they fight twice that night, and that's how it was before. But yeah, hopefully it doesn't turn into the last couple of winners. You know, King Barrett and King Sheamus kind of wore the gimmick around and did really nothing with it. Number one, too, and I know I plug this a lot, but over the last couple of weeks, Sam Roberts has had killer interviews. He had Braun Strowman on last week, and he had Baron Corbin on the week before. Stellar interviews. Just hearing how humble and how self-aware Corbin is about himself, the relationship with him and Vince McMahon, how he feels about his role and the perception of people looking at WWE. Very well spoken. Like, I'll tell you, if it's not about being a fan of his, but, you know, listening to that interview opened my eyes up more about him. Even Braun Strowman. Goddamn, that was a great interview that Sam Roberts did with him. But no, I thought, yeah, it's overall King of the Ring. There's got to be a meaning towards it, and you know, you battle through these brackets. And I always thought that, you know, Money in the Bank, let that be for your title, like that shot at the title. Let King of the Ring, I don't know, you're the number one contender for the Intercontinental title. But I think that kind of means less, seeing as how the Intercontinental title is kind of up and down lately. Mm-hmm. Or even do it, you're the number one contender for the world title if you win the King of the Ring. I don't know, just something. So if week over week we can look at it and go, yep, like, here's what are they fighting for? This is what they're fighting for. They're fighting for the King of the Ring. What does that mean? Well, they're the King of the Ring. They're the King of the Ring. It's like, well, what does that mean? Like,
yeah.
So, one other topic, of course, as we talked about a little bit before, we have Hell in the Cell, Seth versus The Fiend is going to happen. So, once again, we talked about this, you know, the ending, you know, you elaborated on it really well at the end of Clash and how everything happened. Too soon for The Fiend? You know, where do we go from here? What kind of bookings go well? I want your thoughts on that, but more importantly, let's just say The Fiend wins or doesn't win. Where does he go after Hell in the Cell?
Yeah, I think it is too soon for The Fiend. I think there's more for him to build, because again, where does he go if he loses?
Right. Which I don't think they can make him lose now, not this early.
No, and so when you're dealing with characters that have very specific things about them, you know, things that people notice, if they're too strong up front, you can't make them weak, but, you know, you're only supposed to go up with them. I felt like there was an overexposure in Raw and SmackDown this week of Bray Wyatt and The Fiend.
Oh, God, yeah.
It was like every second segment. It's just like constantly. The Firefly Funhouse, there's
opera. There's five segments of the Firefly Funhouse. Right. And even did you see the end, the very ending of Raw? It was the still of Firefly Funhouse, yes, with it all ripple, and yeah, it sat there for 7 minutes.
Oh, I know. And at one point in time, things were upside down, and yep, Thankfully Renee mentioned something.
So apparently that was, everyone was like, oh, she pointed it out, they made him, apparently that was completely on purpose.
I hoped it was.
Because it was upside down again. They're really good at what they do.
Well, I was hoping, because I wanted to make sure that it wasn't me watching going, did I break something?
We're talking about a guy that, know, the lights shut down, he sticks his fingers down your throat, so.
Again, there's ways to push this. I wish there was more turmoil between the Yowie Wowie Bray Wyatt and The Fiend.
I would love to see the Yowie Wowie guy on Raw.
Yeah.
100%. Just backstage. Just, hey, what's up, guys?
Yeah.
How's it going?
Or he goes to the ring and goes to wrestle a jobber, and he's just like, I can't do it.
What am I doing?
Yeah. Like, let's just go hang out.
Yep.
And then, like, all of a sudden, you just, like, you know, the lights go out and lights come back on, and he's, you know, something.
Yeah.
But I don't want to go too much into this. I just feel like it's too soon to go right into top of the top in Hell in a Cell. If you weren't in Hell in a Cell, if you were at Crown Jewel or something else
on Halloween,
yeah, then you can work around Bray not winning or whatever. But Hell in a Cell, if he's in the cell, there's no DQ.
I think Bray's winning.
I know, how can you not?
I think he's winning.
I think it's bad timing for everything.
I think he's winning. I think he stays on Raw, and Rollins goes to SmackDown, because they need Rollins on SmackDown for Fox. Bada bing, bada boom. Because that's how you separate the two.
Yes.
Because Seth is so hot. How does he not get the rematch? You know what I mean? He finds a way to lose strength.
Are they going to put him back up against the next story on the list?
Well, that's going to be one of their last stories. of course, as we do know from SmackDown. And number one, I love bearded Brock Lesnar. That guy looks such a badass. But we do know on Fox, on the debut episode of SmackDown, what is it now?
Friday Night SmackDown! Friday Night
SmackDown. Do you see the new logo? There's like a new logo.
Is it this one?
No. It's no longer called SmackDown Live.
They bring back the old one?
Yeah, the old. That's the old one.
No, let's look it up.
But anyways, let's Google it. But obviously, what we do know is Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman came down to see Kofi Kingston. And, oh yeah, that one there.
This one?
I think that's one. No, that right there.
Yeah.
Not bad. A little bit of a throwback to the original.
I kind of like this one, though.
Minus the explanation.
Yes, a little more.
It's a video game.
Yeah, like a little more pizzazz.
Yeah. Or if you're looking at it, it's a cryptic message. It says Mac Own. The lines. But we do know that Brock Lesnar is challenging Kofi Kingston for the WWE Championship, and it's going to be on their debut episode of Fox. Obviously, this is going to be the first time, and I think they said 15 years, that Brock Lesnar has wrestled on SmackDown. And obviously, what I believe, I highly believe, that not only is this going to be a great kickoff, but October 4th is when it's happening. The week after that is when they have... When's the draft?
The 11th and 14th.
The 11th and 14th.
So the following week.
That's right. So the week after that. So who knows where Kofi and Brock will stay. Once again, maybe a good opportunity. I personally think Brock will take the title because on a debut show, it's going to get a lot of eyes.
Yep.
Plus two, people who haven't watched... You know, in many, many years, are going to want to watch.
They also know Brock.
And they know Brock. Brock brings fans. He brings yep. eyes to the product. And the big question is, don't get me wrong, I would love to see Kofi beat Brock, but not yet. I think what you do is Brock wins, because Kofi, watching him chase his second title reign, will be really, really good must-see TV. Yep. Plus, on top of that, too, how the fans react will be big. Like, if all of a sudden they want to see him go after it again, and they're like, yes, Kofi, get it back, then you know he's done something with the run.
Yeah.
If everyone's like, good run, we're good now. But plus, too, it's a way to get eyes on the product with Brock, not just wrestling on a televised show, a non-pay-per-view, but also for the title, and wins and walks away with it. But what do you think of this? What do you think of this whole match? What do you think of Fox?
I think it's the right idea. I think Brock brings in people that aren't wrestling fans.
Right.
Ronda Rousey. I think if Ronda Rousey comes back, she comes to Fox.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Yep.
100%. Same for the same purpose.
Yep.
USA Network has been attached to WWE for so long that people who have USA Network know WWE.
Yeah.
People who have Fox don't necessarily know WWE.
Yeah.
So here I think it's a good opportunity. I think it's the right move to have Brock win. You just got to make sure that whatever happens after has to make immediate sense.
Yep.
Whoever it is, it doesn't matter. But Brock still has to stay strong. But again, that's if Brock shows up.
I think they will. They just spent $4 billion to get SmackDown, or $2 billion on SmackDown.
Yeah, like Brock's got to be there.
They're going to spend some of that money to get Brock there for a little bit.
Yeah, he's got
to
be there. That's
the
thing.
I think he's going to be there a lot more. And to be honest, like lately, he's been there a little bit more than he has been. But I know what you mean. Typical Brock goes away for several months.
So if he is there, and he doesn't have to be there, he doesn't have to be in the ring every week.
No.
He just has to, if he has a story, well, he needs to have a story.
Yeah.
It can't just be...
No. He's gonna have.
He goes and does his own thing, hides in the back, and then all of a sudden shows up, and then there's a match.
No, this is too big for Brock to do what he usually does. I think they have an opportunity to make SmackDown the A show.
Yeah.
With being on Big Fox, like this is gonna be huge, huge. Millions of people are gonna watch this, and I really, really do hope millions of people do view them. You know, it's, yeah. But no. And yeah, and then of course, too, what's great about it is no matter what happens, hey, Bobby Lashley, WWE Championship on the Weather Network. Local news. But yeah, what's great about this is regardless, even if Kofi loses that next week, there's a scramble.
Yep.
So that can easily pull him away. It's not like Kofi didn't get his chance, puts him on Raw, goes for the Universal, whatever. But I think the good thing regardless about Kofi is Kofi, you know, 10 plus years in the business, only got his... You know, his second shot now, first win. I think the perfect part about it is that it doesn't, even if it ends, it'll always be there that it happened. That miracle moment, that gauntlet match, the screw jobs all the way to WrestleMania to beat Daniel Bryan, that will be the icing on his career future Hall of Famer. He was, I think he was a Hall of Famer without that title. Now he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer with that. So I think no matter what, we've told a great story with Kofi. But yeah, those are the main topical things from Raw and SmackDown this week. Let's take one more last break, and then when we come back, we will break down the upcoming C4 event, where Kyle, you were going to that one?
Absolutely.
He is going to it, where we're going to just kind of run through the card, and yeah, and then do a little bit of hype up for C4.
Sounds good.
All right, stay tuned. Eyes are making her dizzy, staring at these lines like, who the fuck is he? She hates when it comes up, she's always feeling dumb when they leave, and she's left with none, and her friends pretend that there might be one out there. She doesn't need it, she doesn't see it, she's defeated. Welcome back, everyone. All right, Kyle, let's close out the last segment of the show. You know, when is the event? Sorry.
C4's Undisputed.
No,
is,
when?
It is this Friday.
This Friday. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. C4 Undisputed. You are going. Unfortunately, I'm not. My losing streak continues. But no, you're going to be there. Looks like we were just kind of talking about, before getting back on and recording, talking about the card a little bit, and it looks like a pretty good card.
Yeah.
Can't complain.
So we had a couple, I guess there was a couple of, you know, schedule changes, and that happens when you're dealing with busy wrestler lives and no guaranteed contracts. So we're gonna run through the matches and then and we'll plug a little bit more and then we'll go home. But one of the first on the list, and it's not any particular more of the actual matches, it's just what C4 has listed on their website. C4 Underground Championship, Jonathan Rookin versus the returning Shane Simmons, who showed up for the alumni match at the Fighting Back. So he is back in the ring again, which will be interesting to see how he performs against Jonathan Rookin. Cool. I think Jonathan's going to retain his title. He seems to be a solid underground champion. They're also pushing him for C4 Underground, taking place in October on the 11th at Beyond the Pale Brewery. So that's why I feel, you know, put two and two together.
Yeah.
Next six-man tag team match. The Best, Spunk and Logan, and Billy Brash, who I'm not familiar with, are taking on Sexy Eddie.
That's really loud. Sorry,
and
guys.
I believe the debut of the Jim Nasty Boys, Timmy Lou Retton and White Mike. Not familiar with them. I mean, I've heard of them, but I've never seen them. So it'll be interesting how this match goes. Sexy Eddie is classic. He used to wrestle quite often with Kevin Steen. I like the Best. They're fun guys. They're fun to watch. So this will be an entertaining match. Could go either way. Up next was the first change on the card. Not an actual change. It's the first one we're going to read about. MVP was supposed to get his revenge match against Sheldon Jean. Things happened. Sheldon Jean chickened out. Didn't want to face him today. Tonight, or tomorrow night, rather. So instead, the Beast King FTM will be taking his place. I don't know if I've seen these two individuals before, but interact against each other. So we'll just see how they compare.
Yep.
I really like MVP. I think he's got a lot to offer. He's very good with the crowd. He can play both the heel and the face very well. So I'm hoping he'll come out on top. And then this next change in our card. We're supposed to have a match with the Butcher and the Blade. Andy Williams couldn't make it.
Boo.
So now we're getting a four-corner match. The
Yay!
Blade, Pepper Parks, Alex Zane, Blake Christensen, and Kevin Blanchard. I have no idea how this is going to go. We'll really have to wait and see.
Well, he's got a blade, so watch out.
Yeah, I mean, this could go really either way. I'm not very familiar with Alex, Blake, or Kevin off the top of my head. But
no, neither am I. Blake Christian, I've seen, but the other two I haven't.
So we will see how this match goes, but I think, again, it'll be an entertaining one nonetheless. Next is the single showdown. This is a bit of a rematch from the Seaway Valley Wrestling match that happened at Fighting Back. We have Junior Benito, the up-and-comer, versus Scrapper James Stone. I love James Stone. I really enjoy him as a single match. Junior Benito, he's good, solid up-and-comer. I think James is actually going to lose this match. I think Junior's going to have, you know, the sneaky win.
Sneaky.
But this is going to be a good match. And Junior, you can see the potential. He hasn't quite put it all together yet. He's still got some mass to come with him, but he's super young, so it's nice to see the future.
Right.
And that's where Junior is. So, and he
as
James said,
as a veteran C4, you know, for sure, I could see him putting him over.
And shout out to Wrestling With Ideas. They actually have Junior Benito in the studio for an interview. So make sure you guys check that out and give it a listen. All right. The special challenge, potentially the last time we will see the Dark Order in a C4 ring for some time.
Isn't that been the case each time?
Well, the fighting back was Joey Janela's last. We weren't sure about Dark Order, but they're at least with this one. I'm just going to say that every time might be the last time, because eventually it will be.
It's true. You'll eventually be right.
They are taking on two of the Buffalo Brothers, the unkillable Kevin Blackwood and the remix Kevin Bennett, who definitely made an appearance to assist Daniel Garcia in winning the over-the-top Battle Royal. This is going to be a great match. Dark Order, they're so good. They're doing so well in AEW.
Yep.
Just keep the momentum rolling.
They won a triple threat match for the opportunity and then won the match for the opportunity at a first round bye. But here's the thing. After beating the Best Friends are still in the tournament. So it wasn't in first round. It was for the first... And actually, because they got the first bye, if Best Friends beat... Who is, because they released a bracket.
Yeah.
But if Best Friends win their one match, they go against the Dark Order in the finals of that bracket.
But that's not the Dark Order's fault.
No.
But it's still, nonetheless, we got to take those opportunities while we can. We got to cheer on the local boys and this opportunity to see them up close and personal. Up next, we are going to have our co-main event, the C4 Championship with the man, the walking weapon. One half of the Impact Tag Team Champions, the one half of the team that sent LAX out of the Impact Arena for good.
Josh Alexander.
Walking weapon, Josh Alexander.
Sorry,
taking on the Wounded Owl, LaFisto. I was really impressed with LaFisto.
I gotta search this Wounded Owl.
I was really impressed with LaFisto's match against FTM at the charity show. So really excited to see what's going to happen. I'm a little afraid for LaFisto. I don't know if Josh is going to take it easy on her, but he might just ruin her. And that would be unfortunate for her in any future matches.
What did she do to earn a C4 championship?
So one of the things about the C4 championship, and really anything on the card, is that they only show once a month. So it's about putting on the best matches week in, week out. There is some story that carries through, but because you're not contractually obligated to show up to these events, you know what I mean?
Right, they can't
guarantee matches carrying through. So they got to be a little more careful with the stories they carry through. But I think right now it's at a point where with C4 and with losing some of these guys to AEW,
right,
it's really about putting on the best show possible with who is available to come out.
So you're saying that the only person available?
No, was I'm just LaFisto. Saying
that and there's it's not a female thing.
No,
I guess I don't know.
There's a chance. There's a chance this could be really good. We'll have to find out.
At any given time, at any given moment.
That's right. And then there is our other co-main event: the three-way dance for the C4 Tag Team Championships. Diamond Tiger, Kobe Durst, and Matt Angel defend their title against Tabernacle Team, who may at some point in time or not. Depending on if Cody talks to Kenny, who talks to Tony, maybe moving on to AEW. And Santana Ortiz, former LAX, who are now in the title mix for AEW. Super nice guys outside the ring. This will be great. Who knows if we'll get to see them again. So this one's definitely a match to be enjoyed. I think Diamond Tiger and Matt Angel will retain.
Right.
But nonetheless, there's going to be doors involved. There's going to be violence. It'll be enjoyable.
Oh, God, yeah, that match. I love Kobe Durst.
So this is, once again, this is the season opener. Tomorrow, September 20th. There is still some tickets available for the general admission, but I'm sure before the end of the, before the night comes, they'll sell out. So get that opportunity. And the next show takes place once again in October on the 11th. We'll provide some more details as they come. On next week's show, we will break down this month's show. I will assure you that I will do a much better job of remembering who is in it and who was winning. That is all me. I will make sure I do a better effort. So before we go inaugural...
You want to borrow my pen?
No, I will keep a little little notepad on my fanny pack. But before we go on this inaugural episode of the Pro Wrestling Outsiders show, Mark mentioned that their draft for SmackDown and Raw is coming on the 14th of October. 11th or 14th.
You got it, yep.
So around Thanksgiving Day weekend. So leading up to it, Mark and I, and he hasn't committed, but I'm going to commit him now because it's official in the air. We're going to do our own draft.
Yeah.
We're going to draft. We're going to do it proper style, where if I call a name, Mark can't take that name.
We are both group general managers
tonight.
That's
right. One's Raw, one's SmackDown. We're going to come up with who we would want to be on our show and maybe talk a little bit about the stories or how we would push them along. Why do we want this guy?
Book a first event. Not maybe that night.
Right.
But maybe the next week
and
after.
And we'll keep track of who we drafted and we can walk this along.
Yeah.
So we thought we'd have a little bit of fun with it. That's one of the things we like doing is trying new things out. So that's going to come up in the next couple of weeks. Just want to make sure that the roster of applicable wrestlers are still active and feasible. And then we will carry through with that. I'll actually put up the list we have ahead of time so you guys can take a peek, get your own views, kind of think about who you would pick.
Maybe do it yourself with a buddy.
That's
it.
Yeah. And we're working on it. It's fantasy pool season with the hockey and the footballs. And baseball's wrapping up and basketball's going to start again soon. So, what?
I love the idea. I just think it's going to be so wacky and crazy. Just because of how inconsistent people are on each show.
Trust me.
Yeah.
It's all going to work out.
Yeah. Whoever gets Brock Lesnar is going to lose because he's never going to be
but
there.
But here's the beauty of it. I will show you after. The first run, we are going to have a Pro Wrestling Outsiders Show Fantasy Pool. But the difference being, for the first time round, we're going to pick a wrestler from, I think I calculated, 14 boxes.
Okay.
Which means we both can have the same wrestler.
Okay.
There's going to be... I even have it right here. We're going to preview it right now. I was messing around with it. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 16. So you're going to pick 16 wrestlers.
Did you randomize that, or did you just put them in boxes?
No. So, each box is going to contain like-typed wrestlers.
Okay.
So in Superstar 1 box, you're going to have your tops. Superstars 2, your second level, and so forth. So you're going to choose one from each. Then you're going to have tag teams. You're going to choose 4 people that are in tag teams. You don't have to choose both people from the same tag team, but any tag team match, they split the points.
Right.
We're going to choose 4 women and 2 jobbers. I was going to call them the 24/7 guys, but jobber sounds more fun.
That's true.
So we're going to try it out. And if you're listening and you'd like to partake, once we're up and running, you can join us. You can let us know you want to join. I'll send you the boxes. You send me back the boxes, we add you the standings, and we go from there. And if it fails, hey, guess what? It fails. But it'll be fun to try. It won't cost you a dime. It only cost me my time. And that's okay.
You should live stream it on YouTube.
I'm not going to do that.
Why not?
Live stream me going through the checkboxes?
Well, no, just live stream us. Picking.
Well, we could do that. We could definitely record the other draft.
That's true. We'll figure it out. Still hashing out the details.
That's right. But I wanted to get it out there. That way I have to commit to it.
Joking aside, it's a great idea. I'm looking forward to it. I play general manager at home sometimes in my head. I always do it. So it'd be really cool to put actual pen to paper and see if we were both playing, you know, one Raw, one SmackDown. We'll flip a coin or we'll do a random name and then we'll random brand, you know, so it's Kyle gets SmackDown or Raw or Mark gets this.
Yeah.
And then we'll just flip a coin who goes first and then we'll just literally go from there. And, you know, we'll try to maybe put some pressure on it where there's a time limitation between each pick.
Yep.
You know, maybe you get 2 minutes maybe or a minute. we'll hash that out. Yeah. But I think it's going to be really fun. And then maybe, yeah, down the future, we'd do something where it's like, hey, in our roster, if we were to book, SummerSlam is coming up. What would we book? How would we book it? And
yep.
Who would be our champion and why? Yep.
There you go.
So
that being said, that's going to wrap up today's show. Thank you very much for joining us. Once again, my name is Kyle.
And my name is Mark.
And this is the Pro Show.
Pro Wrestling Outsider. Are we going to too sweet? Or are we going to get a cease and desist?
Well, we have the one sweet then. Or do we go no
but
sweet?
Isn't that like a Young Bucks thing? We go no sweet. How about a no sweet? Oh, boom! No sweet. I love it.
So, once again, thanks very much for joining us, everyone. Always appreciate it.
Have a good night, guys. Thank you so much. See you next week.
Mic drop.